Take from my text the 12th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, verses 42 to 44. And the Lord said, Who thinkest thou as the faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord setteth over his family, to give them their measure of wheat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord shall come, he shall find so doing. Verily I say to you, he will set him over all that he possesseth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. February 12th, 1891, was Foundation Day for the new congregation of missionary sisters founded and led by Sister Catherine Drexel. It was she who chose the new congregation's name. They were to be called the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, SBS. Archbishop Ryan of Philadelphia tacked on the following for their official name, for Indians and colored people. This was to underscore the distinguishing mark of their charism. They were founded specifically, purposely for service to the Indians and the colored people. Sister Catherine was making her temporary vows at that moment. It would be a period of 5 years, and they would then, final profession would be a lifetime vow. And as she made the vows, she made the usual three evangelical council vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience. But then there was a fourth one, particular to her charism. She spoke these words, To be the mother and servant of the Indian and Negro races, according to the rule of the servants of the Blessed Sacrament, and not to undertake any work which would lead to the neglect or abandonment of the Indian and colored races. Unquote. Catherine Drexel, now Mother Catherine Drexel, the first sister of the Missionary Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. She was in her 33rd year when she received the black veil of a professed sister, and when she took up the governance of this fledgling missionary order. And from their newly built mother house in Cornwall Heights, Pennsylvania, they would, the following years and decades, they would be sending missionary nuns out to the American West for the Indian missions and down to the American South for the emancipated black slaves and their descendants who were suffering new injustices under the legal system of racial segregation, which was in those years, the 1890s and early 1900s, being relentlessly imposed upon them by white Southerners. And it is here that the story of Mother Catherine and the Missionary Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament becomes part of the vast, beautiful story of the phenomenal growth of the Catholic Church in the United States of America. This is an era which seems to have come to its high water mark in the mid-1960s. It was a period of a great zeal, the supernatural motive, the love of God, and the salvation of souls, and it involved, practically speaking, intense missionary activity towards poor Catholic immigrants, towards the Indians in the different reservations in which they had been corralled by the federal government, and also for the evangelization of American blacks, very few of whom were Catholics. Also, the support for the social concerns of the working class Catholics, as well as the whole of the working class. And Mother Catherine Drexel's nuns, they were among the nuns of many other religious congregations, sisters who were the identifying Catholic presence in America. Often the sisters were the first personal contact which many people had with official Catholicism. And in these decades, vocations to the sisterhood were abundant. There were many more nuns than there were priests. And together with this apostolic work, evangelization, and certainly is what we would call it now, being present with the peoples whom they were serving, This was in the midst of an immense institutional building project. Mother Catherine Drexel's fortune was dedicated to erecting buildings for these various apostolates. And she saw to it that she donated her money so that buildings had endowments which would keep them going for a long time. And over the past 60 years, we have seen much of this institutional Catholic Church. We've seen it shrink and recede. Nonetheless, a great deal of what was achieved in this era still remains with us. We're still living off the spiritual income, if you will, of this post-Civil War to 1960s American Catholic Church. We have some sense of awareness of how much we are indebted to this era which preceded us. It is much to be lamented, I think, that our American Catholic story has been flattened. How the greatness and the goodness and the heroic sacrifices of so many priests, nuns, and lay missionaries, and just American Catholics faithfully living their lives, how it's been forgotten by contemporary American Catholics. It's the counter narratives, the scandal narratives that have gotten the upper hand nowadays, as if these are the real stories, the only stories, that they cancel out any good which might have been done. This is not so. This is not true. Just by reviewing the life of Mother and Catherine Drexel and the origin story of her religious order during these Lenten conferences, I hope I have been able to instill in us a pride in being American Catholics and help us to recover something of that fuller and that truer story of the life of the American Catholic Church in our United States. A story of which we are very much a part, for it is an ongoing story, and a story to which we are contributing, even if we are hardly aware of it. When Catherine Drexel was first discerning if she had a vocation, she felt an inexorable call to become a contemplative nun. If she were to become a nun, if she had a vocation, well, it was clear to her that she was to go into the cloister, to shut herself off from all the business of the world, and to adore the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament all her days. And yet, her vocation was an active vocation. Her work for so many decades was a most active apostolate. But in the last 20 years of her very long life, that initial vocation to be a contemplative nun, that vocation was realized in a beautiful way. Mother Catherine was 78 when her health collapsed, and suddenly she had to relinquish the governance of her order. And she had to retire to the Mother House in Pennsylvania. And thereafter, she spent the last two decades of her life, from 1935 to her death, March 1955, she spent it in daily prayer and contemplation. Even during the nights, from her bed, she continued in what she called N.A. N.A., nocturnal adoration. And we know this because we have the eyewitness of the sisters who had to keep her company overnight, and also her own handwritten notes, which she kept track of to help her remember her intentions and what her prayers were and the fruit of her meditations. So I would like to close our conference by leaving you with one of the citations from these nocturnal adorations. It is from February the 11th, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, 1942. And in this nighttime prayer, she was recalling that visit to Lourdes, France, with her two sisters, three young women after both their parents had died. And they were, of course, so heavy with their grief. And this is what she wrote. Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, 1942. I am in spirit in Lourdes with Lisa and Louise, kneeling at the grotto. O dearest Mother Mary, what are the graces you have poured into my soul since that pilgrimage, when I took the bath in the waters that cold, crisp morning, some months after the shock of my dear father's death, which left me with the seeds of the disease that was cured by that bath some months after we returned home. Our Lord was calling me to the religious life, but my spiritual director, Bishop O'Connor, said, "No, wait, wait." How wonderful are God's ways, so full of mercy. My life is a moving picture of scenes which recall His wonderful providence in my regard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.